2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
The MLB NBA Cross Hybrid Pollination Podcast, brought to you by the good folks over at DFSArmy.com. If you're not signed up with us yet, use the promo code PODCAST and then check out all the different opportunities that we got over there at the Army. With all that access, you get 24/7 access to our Slack chat channel where we're sweating out the games. Had a big finish last night for a couple of our members. We've also got the Domination Station doing big things for the NBA playoffs right now. We got Keith's VIP lineups page and Burnsy's Analytics Corner going on. That's only for our paid subscribers, so that's the only way you get it. Once again, go to DFSArmy.com, use that promo code PODCAST, and get yourself signed up today. I am your host, Al Walsh. You can find me on Twitter at 14a.walsh. Find my co-host, Keith Hall, who's joining me as always. Find him there at Boomer's DFS Daddy. So yesterday when we talked about the NBA, we talked about teams, you know, who lost their home opener looking for vengeance over there. Two of them picked up on that idea, but the Boston Celtics, not so much.
Dude, oh, my gosh. That game was... like, I didn't watch a lot of it. I had it going in my ear.
By the way, so many good games on last night. I even flipped it over since the Rangers were on. Not a Rangers fan, but I'm interested in what they do. But they even had an exciting game last night in the NHL. So I'm not even kidding you. I was home last night, and I was watching games on the TV, and then I had two computers set up. So a total of 10 games on three devices. It was amazing.
Yeah, that was... that was crazy. So, you got to love being a sports fan right now. I mean, everything that we have going on, we got the NHL playoffs, the NBA playoffs, we got Major League Baseball firing up, we just had the Masters, so golf is in full swing. I mean, there's probably a ton of other things going on, but I have no idea exactly what it is. So I'm
not really worried about it. Got the World Squash Championships this weekend.
Oh, really? I thought it was handball.
I didn't believe that's the second week of May.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, then, I didn't get it. So, but yeah, there's just a lot of fun stuff going on. I mean, you've got MMA, you've got NASCAR. I mean, the DFS world is alive and kicking, and it's a stark contrast to where we thought we were going to be a year ago. We were kind of holding on for dear life, and now we're running, you know, 150K to first place tournaments on DraftKings for a three-game playoffs slate.
Yes, indeed.
So I do want to make an announcement. DraftKings has announced their Fantasy World Baseball Championship qualifiers are out and rocking. I have a little bit of a – I'm going to pull it out to the listeners, okay?
I know.
Because I have a little bit of a dilemma. Now, if you don't know, the – Fantasy Baseball World Championships this year for DraftKings is going to be held in Denver, Colorado, where they will be going to probably, I'm assuming, a Rockies game.
Denver, you know, gorgeous.
Yeah.
Sunshine State.
It says it's amazing. You know, first place is getting a cool $500,000. This live final takes place on Saturday, August 26th. August is going to be a pretty busy month here in the Army because we're gearing up for football, obviously.
Fantasy football drafts for everyone in their own hometown leagues and internet leagues as well.
Yes. And one of my wife's best friends is actually getting married in Carolina that day.
You don't have to go, right?
Now, here's what I want to pull to the listeners. I asked the wife, because I told her, I was like, I haven't even tried qualifying for it yet. I won't if you tell me that I'm not going to. She's like, well, I can go, but, you know, this is your job. This is money. You know, you need to support your family. You go after it. And I'm sitting
That's
here thinking.
That's an outstanding woman right there.
Yeah, but I'm sitting here thinking, okay, is this one of those is this one of those secondary things that you're saying? You're saying this, but right. You're really like wanting a nice little vacation to get away from fantasy and everything like this. And
South Carolina is gorgeous in August if you haven't been there.
Yeah. so I'm sitting here going, you know, is it really, really – that okay?
Right.
And
well, I think allow me to play Dr. Al here for a second, but I've never spoken to your wife directly, but from all the secondhand stories that I've heard, I don't think this is one of those tricks. I think this is pretty straightforward. Like, I think the fact that you have a chance to make half a mil, she's certainly okay with that. So
she would be 100% okay with that.
I think you might be reading a little too much into this.
But now, my theory is this something I'm going to end up and not? I don't mean to throw a pun out there, but is this something I'm going to end up paying for later?
Well, you're married, so there's always going to be something that you're going to be paying for, right? Like, but that's the thing. Like, you already got the woman, you know. Now, me and my, like, let's say I've been dating this girl for, I don't know, 7-8 months, and I'm in that situation where I have to go to the wedding, probably meet the family, make a big impression on the aunts and uncles and the cousins and whatnot. That might be a situation where I might have to go to. But you're married already, you know, like, you're good. You're set already. So, again, you'll probably get yelled at for not cleaning the dishes or something like 2 weeks later. So I think you'll be fine.
Okay. Well, this is the poll that I'm putting out there. Okay. Everybody needs to don't DM me because I get so many damn DMs every single freaking day that it's not even funny. And I try to answer as many as I possibly can in the time frame that's possible, but throw it out there on, either Twitter or at Boomers DFS Daddy, or in Slack, and let me know if it would still be wise for me to chase this queue, because, you know, just to kind of throw out a theory of what August is like for us. One, we have my birthday. Two, we have our wedding anniversary. And now we've got this. You know, this is a busy summer for us. You know, we're going to be up in New York for FSTAs, think in July. I've got to look and see when that conference is. So this is a busy, busy, busy summer. All while having an 18-month-old at the time.
Right.
So, okay, you know, I mean, I understand that the theory of going and making money. And then not only that, but if I qualify, now I have an extra, you know, I guess you would say, quote unquote, ticket to the event. So then that's a whole nother issue. Like, do I take one of my buddies up in Colorado? Do I put out a contest for the Army and, you know, they get to go? Do I take you? Do I take Chop? Do you know who do I take? Because Colorado it's our home. Not our home. It's where she's from here, but it's where that's where she wants to be. I'm from Colorado, obviously. You know, we both love the Rockies and everything like that. So there's some other issues that are there, so I'm really, really, really kind of torn on this. So
Yeah, it's a very deep emotional connection to the city. Now, I will say too, I also have a friend in Denver that, you know, if your friends aren't around,
and
we could still
here it is.
we could still be plugged into the social pipeline there. So.
Oh, my friends are around. Okay. So it's and then it's like, okay, well, I don't even have to fly. I can just drive. You know.
Oh wow.
Because then I could take a couple extra days. I could go up there early. I could go up there. I could stay later. You know, I could, you know, whatever.
To the altitude, like, you know, so you're not just flying in that day and competing. I get you.
Oh, they fly you in a couple days before.
Wow.
So, but, I mean, it would almost be cheaper for me to drive than it would be to fly. So, yeah, there's issues there. But, you know, the big thing is do I want to chase it?
Right. I got you.
So throw out some advice. I'm all up for it, and we'll see from there. So,
yes, indeed. All right. Well, let us begin. We'll kind of do the same format that we did yesterday. We'll break down the three NBA playoff games that are on the docket. We shall begin. Well, I'm sorry, and then, you know, we'll take that break with that fancy audio clip, and then we'll go to MLB. But let's begin our night in the nation's capital, where the Atlanta Hawks play game two against the Washington Wizards. Wizards up 1-0 in this series. Wizards going to be favored by 5 points in this one. We've got our lowest total on the slate at 212.5, so that should say a lot for about how these scores should look at the end of the evening. So we've got two massive pace games there at the end of the night, you know, with the Rockets, Thunder, we got the Blazers. Warriors in that one. So this is kind of the ugly stepchild of the evening right here in this game. But there are some decent matchups to go to. I was a little shocked to see, you know, the Hawks get out to this one. I thought the Wizards were going to completely dominate this one with the tempo. But what stood out to you from game one?
Not a lot, really. It's kind of what we thought it was going to be. It's one of those things that, you know, you sit there and you look at it and you're like, oh, well, that looks great. That looks fantastic. And you're kind of going, well, that didn't work out too well. It's just, this one's pretty straightforward. I mean, you're going to want some John Wall exposure because he's going up against the worst defensive point guards. Or one of the worst defensive point guards in the league. I don't like Schroeder because, you know, we've talked about how sneaky Washington was against point guards. I mean, it's just a couple. I think there's going to be mistakes, and people mistake high pace for fantasy points, and that's not always the case. So,
right.
I do like. I do like the idea of having a lot of exposure to this game, but it's not like the favorite, if that makes any sense.
No, absolutely. And again, like I said, the lowest total on the slate by about 8 points, you know, because you think about this game compared to the other two from the Western Conference that we're going to see tonight. And I could certainly do away with it. Now, I will say I like the Dwight Howard aspect of things against the Wizards. You know, Paul Millsap, guys like that. Those are both tremendous matchups. Maybe even a Markieff Morris on the Wizards side of things. But I think John Wall, of course, is interesting. But I think, you know, you could just take those matchups that I just mentioned from each side and really just roll with those, because we're probably going to see you know, all the other things like times five in the Western Conference game. So, you know, I would rather go to those. I feel a lot more confident in that than the game. You know, it's funny because the Hawks, they had like the fifth fastest pace during the regular season. And you look at the Wizards, I mean, they're running that ball a million miles up and down the court. But what, they were only, you know, in terms of rank, I believe like 12 or 13. So, you know, I know that we have those numbers there, but I guess if you're going for lower ownership, this could certainly be a way to go with more people going to the Western Conference games. But for me, I'm gonna try to keep it there with Dwight Howard, Paul Millsap from the Hawks, and then John Wall and Markieff Morris from the Wizards.
Okay. I don't mind that at all.
All right, and then we got your guys' second game here of the series, OKC at the Houston Rockets. Rockets, 8-point favorites in this one, -365 on the money line with a total at 223.5. And we kind of saw what we thought we were going to see. And, look, the Rockets, I've told you this many times, I like the way that they play ball. They get everybody involved. They swing around, and OKC is kind of just the one-man show. So typically in a playoff series, we know the team's going to win out in that one.
Yeah, it's all about the supporting cast. Oklahoma City needs to have Steven Adams. Victor Oladipo, Taj Gibson. He needs Billy Donovan, Russell Westbrook, and the rest of the Thunder need these guys to show up and play a larger role, or a more efficient role. It doesn't even have to be larger. Just be more efficient, damn it. Steven Adams needs to stop getting owned on the inside. I don't see that happening, but, he's not a bad defender. He's a very competent defender, and I don't understand why he struggles with the Rockets so much. So
probably they're running up and down the court a million miles an hour. I know, Russell Westbrook does the same thing, but there was an excellent video clip that I saw. And this will probably give you some insight as to what I think about Enes Kanter on tonight's slate. So the Rockets ran the umpteenth pick and roll, for the whatever time in a row. So you see Harden toss the lob to Capella, and then you see Billy Donovan. That's the next cut on the camera. They go to Billy Donovan, and he just turns to, I believe it's Mo Cheeks.
Yep.
And he said, I can't play Kanter.
Oh yeah.
So, if you think sneaky GPP play tonight, think again.
Yeah, I mean,
because that is documented.
Yeah, it's bad. The fact that he is such a bad defender is it's utterly mind blowing, because he's got the skill around the basket, but in the playoffs, if you can't defend, then or at least be competent, you're not gonna be able to be out there on the court for very long. So
now I'm gonna go out there on a massive limb. Okay, I'm gonna say that this game is gonna be a lot closer than the 30-point drubbing that we saw last time out.
Yes, yeah.
Prediction of the year. All right, so we did see James Harden outscore Russell Westbrook in terms of fantasy points. Do you think we see the same thing again?
No.
And to Westbrook or to not Westbrook, of course, is always the question.
I'm still a firm believer in you play him.
Huh?
I don't care. I'm this just maybe that's a place where my fantasy basketball game lacks. I don't know. I seem to have had pretty good success, playing it that way. But my idea is that you play him.
Okay. So now, I wanted to bring this up too, and I didn't. I know I'm like totally screwing the company line here, but our good friends over at Basketball Monster, they have four of the top dollar per point value plays tonight coming from OKC. Victor Oladipo at one, Russell Westbrook actually at number two, even at that high salary, and then Andre Roberson at four and Steven Adams at five in that regard.
Yeah, well, I mean, Roberson has got to do a better job fighting through screens in order to meet that. It's a good matchup on the other side, but this team is going to only, and this is going to sound really, really crazy, if Oklahoma City wants to get this to six or seven games, this team is only going to go as far as Andre Roberson takes them. And that's on the defensive end, because if Roberson can not shut down Harden, but slow him down. I mean, you saw that a lot in, who was it? Reggie Miller was talking about how the Rockets, they, every time they come down the court, they would, you know, just, they would run a little pick and switch to where Harden was on Adams. And it's like, why are you getting a seven? Dude, he's too fast, too quick. Don't. Make Roberson fight through those damn screens. Don't just automatically switch just to switch. And so, yeah, that's my whole spiel.
Now, one of the things that I wrote about in my article, as you can find on DFSArmor.com in the first round playoff preview, I did say that when you're trying to pick these Rockets sidekicks, you know, it's typically one guy. You know, they don't really all go off together. Usually Harden and, you know, B, C, D, or E, whoever it is. Well, Patrick Beverley got that honor in game one. He put up a whopping 39.5 FanDuel points. I don't think it's going to be him again. I do think, you know, typically when we see the sidekick going, it's either Lou Williams, Trevor Ariza, maybe Eric Gordon or something like that. So who do you think from the Rockets tonight will be that guy?
I think it's Lou Williams, to be completely honest.
All right.
He's always kind of tortured the Thunder, whether he's in L.A. or, you know, whatever. He's always tortured us, and I don't see that being I don't see that changing. You know, just okay. Because, I mean, if you're Harden and you've got one lockdown defender in Andre Roberson, why even, like, if I don't have to, if Lou Williams has got it going, then why not, you know?
Yeah. On the Defense Army domination scene, we have got Lou Williams listed as the second highest dollar per point player out of all shooting guards. So keep that in mind.
Yep.
All right. Let's get to the last one of the evening here real quick. Portland Trailblazers at the Golden State Warriors. This line opened up at 15 for the Warriors, has since dropped to 13.5. 1,600 on the money line, by far the highest of any slate. And we got a total of 220 in this one. Interesting to note in this game how the Blazers came out ripping and roaring, and then the Warriors did what they do in the second half. I don't think the Blazers are going to sneak up on the Warriors tonight in game two. And, you know, that's what the Vegas line is kind of saying. What was interesting to note in the regular season between these two teams, the first two Warriors wins, I believe, were by a combined 60-plus points. The second two wins that they had against the Blazers were by a combined 10 points. So I think they're going to see more of that early season thing now that, you know, the Warriors said, okay, you got your good performance in Oakland in that first half. It's go time now, and you know. And by the way, you know, that last game, that was the first game for the Fantastic Four, you know, in the playoffs. So now that I think they kind of know what to expect from each other, and it was kind of, you know, a good sign that they regrouped there in the second half.
Yeah, I expect them to play, but keep an eye out on Kevin Durant. Evidently, he strained his calf the other day. I mean, karma's a bitch, but. You know, evidently he's that's something that they've got to watch out. You got to watch out for. So keep an eye out on that. But other than that, yeah, I don't have any problems with mixing and maxing your exposure, because any of them can get hot and any of them can go crazy. Kevin Durant is by far the most efficient out of the bunch.
Yeah.
But they're, you know, they're all going to contribute in some way, shape, form, or fashion. I still think it holds true. I still think the best player on that team, besides Kevin Durant, the one that makes the engine go, the coal to the train, mind you.
The Billy Corgan to the Smashing Pumpkins?
Yeah, sure. Is Draymond Green. And if you put a gun to my head and you tell me I can't have Kevin Durant and I had to choose one of the original Warriors, then night in and night out, I'm going Draymond Green, because he can, you know, he can do it with assists, he can do it with rebounds, he can do it with block shots, he can do it on the defensive end and the offensive end. I mean, this is a guy that had a triple double without getting double digit in points. I mean, this is a guy that he can fill up the stat sheet. He's the emotional leader of that team, and he is the most valuable player on that team. If the Warriors lose Draymond Green, we saw it last year in the playoffs. When they lost Draymond Green, they were shit. So if the Warriors lose Draymond Green, then they're screwed.
Yeah, I believe that would certainly be the case. Yeah, if we're going to see Durant out, Klay Thompson probably going to get a huge boost there. You know, especially with that massive point total during the regular season, when the Warriors had these massive spreads going into games, it was typically Durant and Klay Thompson at some point. He did remember struggle coming out of the gate early this season, so he ended up getting it going there. So he's not a bad idea either if Durant's going to be out. When we talk about the Portland Trail Blazers in this one, we had a lot of guys hit value. You had CJ McCollum, of course, with his great game. Damian Lillard pumped it up in the second half. Even Maurice Harkless, Evan Turner, guys like that. You know, are we going to see a similar performance from them?
Yeah, I think we are. I think the complexion of this whole series changes, honestly. I think it's a lot, maybe not, you know, close or, you know, even giving Portland a chance, but definitely it's a different complexion of this series if Jusuf Nurkić were to, you know, be healthy and be active for it. That changes everything, because that doesn't allow the Warriors to, you know, de facto go small, like they are and like they always love doing. So yeah, I think that does change it a little bit, but make no mistake about it, the Warriors are the better team here. They should win in at least 4 or 5 games.
And one of the things that I wrote about in that first round playoff preview for this series as well, you know, I expect the Blazers to be getting mangled a good portion of the series. So the fact that Portland will have to be in up-tempo mode the entire time, you know, running and gunning right back with the Warriors bodes very well for their fantasy outlook. So, you know, that's why we saw all the guys do as well as they did, and especially Nurkić being out certainly helped there too. I just saw this too. CJ McCollum has a little bit of an ankle ailment.
I did not know about that.
Yeah, I just saw it on the play. He's probable. He got a right ankle sprain, but I guess something to monitor. I'm sure he's going to play. It's the playoffs. Huh? He's a basketball player, folks. He's tough.
Yeah, it's not like, you know, they are fighting to get out of the first round. It's not like the Warriors, who expect to get out of the first round and really want to get, you know, keep Kevin Durant healthy. So it's a little bit of a different situation. If you ask me who I thought was more likely to sit, it would be Kevin Durant.
Yep, that sounds
not right. That I think he's going to, but, you know, he would be the one more likely.
All right. I know we never done this before, but I'm feeling all sorts of joyful today. So who, you know, as we do our baseball segment next, who would be not the Don call, but who do you expect to be the top player of the night tonight?
You mean besides Russell Westbrook?
Yeah, besides Russell Westbrook, Keith.
I'm going to go with Damian Lillard.
Oh, all right. I like it. I will end up going with – now I'm going to do this from a dollar-per-point perspective. I'm going to go Trevor Ariza. I'm going to go sneaky on him in this one.
There you go.
All right, folks. We will be back in just a sec with your MLB DFS breakdown.
Thank you for listening to the DFS Army Podcast. Join the DFS Army today and gain access to our private Slack chat, where you can chat with real DFS pros and coaches, as well as other DFS Army members with winning track records. Also included in your membership is access to our premium articles, DFS Army weighted projections for every sport we offer, from NFL to MMA, weekly player picks and cheat sheets, the strategy vault of timeless concepts, and the DFS Army Domination Station, a truly state-of-the-art lineup optimizer, offering your personal projections or ours. The DFS Army membership is the best value across the industry. Join today using the coupon code PODCAST on DFSArmy.com to unlock 20% off your monthly subscription and get 2 free ebooks, as well as the secrets to unlocking a new level to your game.
All right, welcome back. Let's get into the MLB slate. I believe on tonight's slate we've got 10 or 11 games. I was trying to count there for a sec. I lost track, though. So 10, 11, you know?
It's 11, I believe.
11? All right, even better. More the merrier, right, for the people? All right, let us begin in – we'll go to the Boogie Down Bronx first, where we've got the Chicago White Sox going up against the New York Yankees. For the White Sox, Dylan Covey, the righty, going for them, and Masahiro Tanaka going for the Yankees. And I told you about this before we hit the record button today. So disappointed that we are a day late on Tanaka Tuesday. I am so disappointed in that. But, hey, people will move on. All right, let's talk about Dylan Covey first. Really not much to get to, but he had a decent outing in his major league debut last time out against the Twins. He goes 5-3, gives up 5 hits, 3 walks. That's not the good part. He did give up 1 earned run, ends up getting the no decision after going 90 pitches. Only 1 strikeout there as well. But Masahiro Tanaka, you know, he's not off the best right now. 14 innings he's gone so far. He's got a 1.93 whip. He is 1-1, 8.36 ERA, 3 homers already in the 14 innings, which is a bit troubling. I'm not sure if he's going to get the benefit of having Austin Romine today. They might go with – I can never get the guy's name right, but I'm wondering this too.
Hayashi Galamoribi.
Yes, that guy. I'm wondering if he can have the – you know, the connection there between the two cultures. I'm sure they probably understand a lot. They understand each other a lot more than Roman would with Tanaka. I believe he still needs a translator. But it'll be certainly interesting to see. I've seen a couple places that have Tanaka already as one of the top dollar per point pitchers on the day. I'm not going to go there.
What is this damn love with the freaking Yankee pitchers?
Right, they are hot. But remember I did say in yesterday's podcast, the only one in that starting rotation that I'm not enamored with right now is Masahiro Tanaka. And, you know, he's got the propensity to give up the long ball, and I think a lot of these White Sox guys might be able to get to him, even though they're just an absolute mess right now.
Well, I mean, technically they beat Luis Severino, which everybody was touting as God yesterday, so...
And it came through.
He came through in a fantasy sense because the strikeouts were there. He did not come through in a baseball sense because he still allowed 3 runs, and I don't care who you are, he wasn't as good as Miguel Gonzalez.
Well, let's break that down.
There's nothing you can say.
Because you're gonna trash him, and I'm not.
I'm not
what
trashing.
What is this world come to where I got to back up Yankees? All right, so
I am not trashing Luis Severino. I just don't understand the love, and I'm sorry. There's nothing that you can say that can say that he was better than Miguel Gonzalez last night, because the White Sox scored 3 earned runs off of him, even though they scored 4. I understand one was an unearned run.
Really,
and they did not, and the Yankees, who have been red hot with the bats, could not score off of Miguel Gonzalez. Therefore, right. I win. Boom.
No, you don't yet, because number one, the number 9 hitter, he just grooves a fastball to him and he hit it out. Great, whatever.
Okay, if you're such a good pitcher, don't groove a fastball to a 9 hole in the AL.
People make mistakes, okay? So in the 7th inning, right, the leadoff guy gets on, routine double play to shortstop, and that would have made it 2 outs right there. Next guy up is Jose Abreu, who in that at bat, he tried bunting, but even if he tried to hit, he would have made out because he's so damn – he's like 2-for-31 over his last couple of games. And then the like, so that would have just ended the inning right there. Boom, Severino would have been done, only would have given up one earned run. Nope. Next pitcher, Avisail Garcia, who, by the way, was on MLB what's the show during the day with Kelly Nash? MLB Rundown. And somebody had a Twitter question for Avisail Garcia yesterday, and they said, hey, can you hit a home run for me tonight? Well, he came through, kid, so you got it. Way to go.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, that whole situation should have never happened. Severino should have been out of that inning, and boom, that would have been it. He would have only given up the one homer. So
look, I'm all for, you know, playing guys, and like, I don't mind it. Like, I like playing, you know, these guys when they're not chalk. But the problem right now is that there is an unenamored love for these guys. I don't understand it. Did he work out? Yes, he did. But guess what? When Luis Severino and Michael Pineda are 35% owned, I'm not going to play them. I'm going to take my chances.
Well, here's your thing, right? You're kind of poo-pooing the notion on these guys just based on ownership percentage and not actually looking at the...
No, I'm looking at the numbers.
Physics and everything that are
Michael
going
into. Pineda went into Tampa Bay and allowed 4 runs in the first inning.
Did. And then he nearly threw a perfect game against him. But that's, you know, that's part of the allure here, too, with these Yankee pitchers is that, you know, last week they were going up against the Rays. This week they're going up against the White Sox. Like, these are good matchups for him. I don't think, you know, people would be so gung-ho if they were taking on, you know, like the Orioles or the Red Sox or something like that. So that is part of it as well. I know. We know your feelings, and we know mine. So... I shouldn't say any interest because I know there's going to be no interest, but you should know there are sites out there that have Tanaka as one of the top dollar per point pitchers on the slate. With that being said, any interest in these bats here tonight?
Probably not.
All right.
I got a little bit more interest in guys like Matt Holliday, or at least for the White Sox. I got a little bit more interest in a guy like Matt Holliday, maybe Aaron Judge, Greg Bird, if he's in the lineup again. I really do like Greg Bird. I mean, it's not that I have a disdain-hate for Yankees, because I really don't. I have no reason to hate the Yankees.
You know what's funny is that I do, but you wouldn't even notice it.
Yeah,
with all the backup I've showed for them,
it's more of the fact that, you know, the analytical darlings are getting away with murder right now when it comes to these freaking Yankee pitchers, and it's hilarious because they're gonna blow up. They always do. Talented, yes. But are you telling me that after so many years that all of a sudden they've decided that all they're going to do is snap back into it and be one of the top rotations in the American League? No, they're not. So I've got some interest in Holliday and Greg Bird. Maybe a one-off in value as a Ronald Torres, depending on what these lineups put out. But it's not like I'm, you know, rushing over myself to stack these games up.
Yes, indeed. Avisail Garcia, who did go yard last night, leads the major leagues in batting average. So that is still an option that I would like to go down with. And then, of course, remember Chase Headley, Starling Castro. These guys are among the league leaders there in batting average as well. So keep that in mind. Going to be interesting. Again, you're going to have to wait and see what Girardi does with this lineup. We never get the same one. So definitely keep that in mind. One guy to certainly avoid, Jose Abreu, as I mentioned, only 2 hits in his last 31 at-bats. He is just an absolute mess right now. And then
he started off the season last year slow too, I believe, if I remember correctly.
Not an April guy.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I was about to say. You know, there's some of these guys like, you know, Jose Abreu, He came when he first came over. He just, because people didn't know how to pitch him, he just absolutely just went insane. And then the league started to make adjustments, and then he made adjustments, had that great rookie year, and you know everything was great. But the last couple Aprils, he started off kind of slow. Well, there's some of these guys that just start out slow. I'm gonna use a couple of examples that hit close to home. Troy Tulowitzki was a notorious slow starter when he was with the Rockies, and you can kind of see it, although he's pretty much one of the only guys hitting the ball for Toronto right now. But, you can kind of see it, again, kind of lingering up. They just come out of the gate starting slow. Carlos Gonzalez is another way. Guys, I go back to their career stats. Let them start slow. Let their prices get driven down. Because guess what? Pitchers are going to pay when these guys start to get hot. And I want to be able to – I'm going to catch them, and we're going to ride them up through that hot streak until – and as long as they're, low-owned, we're going to just keep riding up and keep going. And I think it's going to be a very, very, very interesting thing to make sure that we pay attention to going forward. So
– as the crazy chick in Wedding Crashers says, I find you.
Exactly.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Although
she was kind of hot.
Oh, she still is. She's married to Bo Rat.
Oh, shit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. By the way, when we're talking, two things here. One plus for Tanaka, one negative. Tanaka is 2-0, 2.33 ERA, and three career starts against the White Sox. And if I know it's very early, but it's still definitely worth looking at. Massive splits against Tanaka early on here. Left-handed batters are hitting almost 200 points higher in batting average against him this season. Left-handers are getting on base half the time against him, slugging .692, and have the OPS of 1.192. Numbers from the right side are still pretty good against Tanaka, but those lefty numbers against Tanaka are absolutely ridiculous. Now, that's funny because the White Sox don't have many lefties, but the few that they have in there might not be bad GPP plays tonight. Okay, let's move it along here. We'll go to our brothers to the north, to Toronto, where the Red Sox take on the Blue Jays. Rick Porcello, the righty for the Sox. Francisco Liriano, the southpaw for the Jays. Porcello, he's just gotten absolutely ripped in his last two starts. He's got a whip of 2.14 in that stretch, giving up 11 homers, five homers in that stretch as well, 0-1 record there. Very troubling for Porcello since he won the Cy Young Award last season, and he was very good at Fenway, which is where he got ripped in that last start against the Rays of all folks. Francisco Liriano, after a disastrous 2017 debut, absolutely skilled the Orioles last time out, 6 2/3, two earned, 10 Ks on 91 pitches. Still took the loss, though, somehow. When we're looking at both of those guys, I know they've had success in the past, but a little bit risky going into tonight, you would think.
Yeah, this is a very, very risky situation. I'm kind of on the plane of what is the public going to be feeling with, Francisco Liriano? And the reason I say that is I want to go the opposite direction. Because it seems like the public just like never gets these guys right, and they just throw their arms up and, do whatever. But there is something to be said about the fact that Francisco Liriano is the number two rated pitcher as far as DFSA grade today. You can't, say what you want about him, like the actual player. But with Russell Martin behind the plate, he's actually better than people think. And we talk about this a lot, but I like Liriano when he's not chalk. When he's chalk, I don't particularly like him as much. And I don't know if he's going to be today, because I think people are now like, oh, well, he screwed me once because of the opening day, and then he screwed me again because I didn't have him the next time. You know, I don't know what to do with him. I want to see him do it again before I go back to the well. And if that's the case, then I think he's a great GPP play. Don't ask me why. It might be the fact that the Red Sox have a .074 ISO currently this season against left-handed pitching. That could be it. But I want to see in GPPs, I think he's a good option. Now, this is one of those situations where you hedge stack, because this is a guy that's not going to just come out and, you know, allow two or three runs. Yeah, sure, he can, but then he's giving you enough to be a viable option on the mound as a play. This is a guy that we've seen, he can go out and he can allow eight runs in a third of an inning. So this is definitely a guy that I wouldn't mind stacking against either. So it's just, I know that's a cop-out, and people say, oh, you're copping out or anything, but in certain situations like this, this is a guy that I want to do that with. I like playing him. He's got tremendous upside, in my opinion. But I also understand and realize, you know, that he could go out there and get absolutely tattooed. So,
yeah, certainly the one aspect of this whole thing is that, I mean, I think we would both agree lefties against Liriano are pretty much dead already. Like, there's just really no use for him. But a lot of righties in this Boston lineup. So I think that's the bad thing there for Liriano. Sure, he's got the strikeout upside against
these guys. And they haven't woken up yet this season.
Yeah.
That's the even scarier thing.
I shouldn't say he has the strikeout upside against the Red Sox, because he doesn't. They're one of the fewest strikeout teams in the league. But Liriano himself is a pretty good strikeout pitcher when his stuff is on. So I do think that there is a ton of risk, and you're probably, you know, if you're going to use Liriano in the, what, like the crazy eights, we'll just say, you know, I think that, is that for NBA, or do they have that?
That's
for
NBA.
That is NBA. All right, so whatever, the stupid sixes, I don't know, whatever the hell, the fucked up four, if you go with him there, you're probably going to get him below, what, like a 2%, something like that. Like, I had Charlie Morton the other night at 1.2. Something like that would probably be in that area. So, tons of risk, though. I can't advocate that one, but I mean, hell, for ownership percentages, why not, right?
I mean, this is a play where you're talking about, you know, either you're making multiple lineups, or you're going after a qualifier, or, you know, something to that nature. You know, this is a high risk, high upside play.
If you like skydiving with those weird pair of jumpsuits, then you'll be into this play.
You mean squirrel suits?
Yes, yes.
Dude, I want to do that so bad.
I can't do that.
Oh my God, I would love
to. I like
to.
It here on the ground. I don't really need to be.
I've been skydiving before. It's amazing. The adrenaline rush is just phenomenal.
I get that watching Phillies games, all right? Don't worry.
Oh, mic drop.
I can't, because you know what? Like, I'll be the asshole whose chute doesn't open. Like, I've done so much shitty shit in my life. I know that this will be my punishment.
Yeah, but you're still no Aaron Hernandez.
That is true. I'm here. And once, how old was I? Probably like 12. I was on a roller coaster, and the damn seat like came loose, and I had to like shut the thing close to my chest. Now that was just bad luck. I really hadn't done that much shitty stuff in my life yet, but yeah. The point remains the same. I have bad luck, and I don't want to be parachuting without a
cape.
You know what I mean? Yeah, you got it. Anywho, a little off track, but any other bats that we're looking for here? I mean, we kind of really didn't talk about Toronto up against Porcello, but weird set of circumstances. Porcello, actually, I thought I had a number for him. I guess not.
There's some guys that have some pretty good numbers against Porcello on the Blue Jays. The problem is like, I know, exactly. Somebody mentioned Jose Bautista yesterday, and I'm like, okay, yeah, but the problem is he's colder right now than my grandma taking candy away from me on a Sunday.
Oh!
He's, thanks for the two walks yesterday, brother.
Yeah. That's
you got to start somewhere, but damn, you couldn't start with a double?
You know, with Bautista, too, we're looking at stats, 136 batting average, no homers, only one RBI. The thing that I'm looking at, no multi-hit games yet this season, and we're, what, almost two, three weeks into the season right now? Got to get multi-hits, my friend. Got to do it.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, it's not good right now.
No. All right, let's move it along.
And they somehow scratched out together four runs. Last night,
I believe seven even.
Oh, did they go up? I turned it off.
Yeah, because the Boston one, some shit guy from the Boston bullpen came in. So, all right, let's talk about the team that disappointed us the most last night, the Baltimore Orioles at the Cincinnati Reds. Ubaldo Jimenez was supposed to go yesterday. He's going today. He's back at it. He's a right-hander. He's going up against Amir Garrett, the young lefty from the Reds. I got to tell you, I like the kid, Garrett. He's got good stuff, and we do know that the Orioles have had struggles against left-handed pitching. We've seen guys like Jay Happley or Yano Pomeranz all skill them for this season. Garrett's a dominant household name, but if you look at his body of work so far, he's had matchups against the Cardinals and the Pirates. 2-0, 1.42 ERA. The whip is a stunning 0.71 so far on the early season. Now, the bad thing here about Garrett, obviously, young, he's a rookie, but both of those games were at Extreme Pitchers Parks. One there at PNC, the other there at Busch Stadium. So this will be his first start at Great American Ballpark. I kind of want to see what I get out of him first before I go jumping off the rails on him. Ubaldo Jimenez, we already know this guy's terrible. He's already got a 2.08 whip early on this season, giving up three homers and 8 2/3 of an inning, got a 10.38 ERA already. But here's the big thing, and I think this is something that we could take advantage of. Since 2014, base stealers against Ubaldo Jimenez are 69 for 82. Oh, the Reds got some brothers. Billy Hamilton, Jose Peraza, what's up?
Yeah, there. If you have a red stack today and you do not have one of those two in it, you're doing it wrong.
Oh yeah. Did you want me to come in there?
I mean, agree, disagree, whatever. I don't care. Man, but
triple stamp it. Double stamp.
I mean,
it.
It's not. I'm not on Amir Garrett today. I'm very interested to see where the rest of the industry kind of goes because he's kind of a darling right now. I like the kid. I think he's got talent. He's very raw. But that's not something that I'm worried about kind of exploiting. The problem is that the Orioles suck versus left-handed pitching right now.
Which is so, we say it all the time, but I got to say it again, which is bizarre. You know, they're so many right-handed power bats, they just can't do it.
Yeah.
By the way, Mark he should get at least two strikeouts from Mark Trumbo because this guy.
For everything he was last year, he's as cold as he was hot last year. It's phenomenal. What a difference a year makes, by the way.
Indeed.
So, I think he'll be fine. I'll keep going to him in good matchups. This is, I don't think, one of those matchups, though. I'll be going to him in probably anytime soon. So.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, we talked about everything. Now, I thought this was hysterical. So far, I say, new strategy we got going on here. So the chalk stack, basically go on the other side of the field for your stacks because, everybody and their mother had the Orioles last night and then it's the Reds popping off. So, it's crazy because, look, the Reds look like a great stack tonight, especially at the top of the order there where, you might be able to get 12 points real quick. Like, let's say we get
if Billy Hamilton walks, he's stealing second and third.
Right. And then you get Jose Peraza, who can also get there to the next base.
You know, we've seen the Reds and the Brewers are actually the masters of this, of pulling off the double steal. So, especially, look, I already mentioned the numbers there against Jimenez, 69 for 82 since 2014 in terms of base stealers. So, if both of those guys can get on, then you got Joey Votto. I think that's a fantastic way to go tonight. I mean, hell, it's not like Ubaldo's getting anybody out. I mean, right? Come on.
Actually, he was pitching very, very well until the fourth inning. Or until the fifth inning, his last start. So.
Well, you know the funny thing, Keith? There's nine innings in a game. So.
Well, I know, but I'm not saying that. I'm saying that he can – we've seen it from Ubaldo in the past. He'll go out, he'll have like five shit starts, and all of a sudden he'll just like – he'll be the Rockies Ubaldo Jimenez where he's just shutting people down.
He used to be somebody.
Yeah, he's got the – like one of the top three lowest ERAs in the first half. And he did that pitching half of his games at Coors Field, that season. I think that was the season before he got traded. It just
mind blowing.
It was. So, I mean, it's, he still shows flashes of it, of the ability to get people out. It's just so hard. It's impossible to predict.
Right.
I mean, the only way I think that you predict it is if you keep going to the well and going to the well and going to the well and just hope that you one of these times nail it. I don't like it. You know, this Reds team is actually pretty decent right now. And I am not going to try to make a living, you know, playing a Ubaldo Jimenez once every fifth day. So,
hey, do you know that this guy Amir Garrett played college ball for St. John's? Interesting.
Yep.
Very interesting. All right, let us head on to the next game here. I believe these are my boys, the Philadelphia Phillies at the New York Mets. Phillies going for two straight. Hey, now. Vince Velasquez, the righty, goes for the Phils. Robert Gesellman, the right-hander, goes for the Mets. Good thing about Velasquez is he's got 17 strikeouts in nine innings so far this season. The bad news, though, he's given up a whip of 1.89 and nine earned runs and three homers in that span. So nine earned runs, nine innings, you do the math. It's a 9.0 ERA. Robert Gesellman going for the Mets. He's also got some good K numbers. He's got 12 in his last 9.2 innings, but he did have a rough time out against the Marlins last time. And I'll give him a pass on that since that was the second time that he saw the Marlins in the week. So they were able to adjust to him a little more. The one thing that I will say about Gesellman, he's had very bad reverse splits even last season and already this season. Right-handed bats are the way to go against him. I'm not going to get into the numbers. You can check them out on today's notes. But they are severely in favor of the right-handers, and that's certainly something that I will be looking to take advantage of. For the Mets offense, we haven't really seen much of Velasquez, but Asdrubal Cabrera, 4-for-9 against him. Michael Conforto, 4-for-7 with two homers. And then Yoenis Cespedes actually took him yard last week, which got the Mets off to that fast start in the second game. So those are all options. Anything in particular here that we're looking at?
Tommy Joseph is interesting because of the reverse splits and the power that he can show. I never really get the Phillies right. I don't really know how to kind of attack them and stack them. It's very odd because there's a lot of young talent, a lot of inconsistency, but I'm never really sure exactly. Like, I guess I don't like the way that the lineup's constructed most of the time.
Yeah.
And I don't like to go in and blindly stack, you know, teams. I think that Tommy Joseph should be hitting higher in the lineup. I think that, you know, Daniel Nava should not be in the two hole. I think that Odubel Herrera should be your one hole hitter. You know, and kind of move. I don't know. It just, it's not the way that I would construct a lineup, but with that said, it's working for them. I just don't never – I never know what to think with Odubel because, like, he's not a really big, like, pop guy. Like, he's got pop, but that's not his game. He's got a mad bat flip game, but it's also, like, he's also one that I think he should get drilled for every once in a while as well.
Yeah, you know, it was interesting. They're talking about it on the Mets broadcast last night where Herrera has publicly come out and said that, you know, he takes time in the box so that, you know, he tries to throw off pitchers' games. And I forget which Mets reliever was pitching at the time, but he snuck Herrera in there with a fastball, like when he wasn't even paying attention. And, you know, the Keith Hernandez, I believe it was in there. He's like, hey, he's publicly talked about, you know, trying to slow these guys down. So he really shouldn't be upset about it. And, you know, he's absolutely right.
But that's something that the umpires need to enforce because they've, like, you're not, unless you swing, you're not technically supposed to anymore be stepping out of the box. Like, that's not, you're supposed to keep at least 1 foot in the box unless you take a swing. And he does it after every single one.
He's just a quirky son of a bitch.
He is.
That's how we deal with him. If Pete Cannon's looking at the same numbers I am, hopefully we have Howie Kendrick there in the two hole.
He's on a 10-day deal.
I don't have that listed as that. Oh yeah, I do see it. Son of a bitch.
So you're not getting Howie Kendrick in the two hole.
Okay. Maybe Aaron Altair if he goes in tonight. I should probably know that since this is my own team, but yeah, that makes sense since he hasn't been in the last couple of days. Hey, I'm pulling double duty with basketball, all right? Aaron Altair might be an interesting option if he's going to be in there. Mikel Franco, of course. I think he would be an outstanding player there tonight. Got to see what other options there are at the position, but again, looking for righties there. And then, of course, going up against Velasquez, it's incredibly frustrating for me as a Phillies fan because the kid's got all the talent in the world. He had a game last season against the Padres where he had 16 strikeouts. He's certainly got that upside, but he is one of the most inefficient pitchers I've ever seen in my entire life. He wastes a lot of pitches. That's why you'll see, you know, all these high strikeouts in real, like, you know, 4 or 5 innings from him most times. So,
he's hunting for the strikeout. And he hasn't learned how to be efficient with it and pitch at the major league level yet.
Yeah.
I mean, it's coming. I definitely think it's coming, but he just hasn't learned it yet. So,
with all that being said, he does have two. He's had two starts at Citi Field in his career, 1-0 with an 0.82 ERA. One including around this time last season when he outdueled Bartolo Colon 1-0, which was great. All right, I got nothing else here. You?
Nope.
All right. Detroit Tigers at the Tampa Bay Rays. Jordan Zimmermann, the righty, going up against Chris Archer, the right-hander. Had a good and a bad start to open the season. I have no idea where we're going with him on that. But Chris Archer has just been lights out this season. Two quality starts in 3 attempts. The one that he didn't get the quality start, he was one out away from it. Rays have won all 3 of his starts this season as well. Pretty good, 2.73 ERA last 5 starts against the Tigers. The current roster against him is collectively hitting .231, and they have a 27.8 strikeout rate against him. Good number to keep in mind here. When we're looking at the pitchers, you like Archer?
I guess he's okay. I mean, he's got the ability to strike him out. I think this Tigers offense is going to start to get hot. And we saw Miggy go yard yesterday in the first.
Happy birthday, by the way.
Yeah, no kidding. Where were you on that freaking Cade's dad? Jackass. No, I'm kidding. He was our NBA guy, not our MLB guy. So, I don't know. I like Archer at home. We always have.
But, yeah, you know what's crazy? His record isn't that great at home, but then everything else is.
His offense depends. It's so dependent on, you know, the handedness of the pitcher that they're facing.
Yep.
Like.
I just wanted to throw the actual record. And last season it was especially bad, so that's why the overall number looks bad. But I believe what he was, what, like 3-10 at home last season?
Yeah, he was just.
But the ERA was like 2.7 or whatever it was.
Yeah, but he was a bad pitcher last year. He just, after that breakout year a couple years in 2015, last year was not what he wanted to follow it up with. I like him. I just don't know if I'm going to go there tonight.
Yeah, it's certainly a risky proposition given, you know, that we have, what, Kershaw and
Tyler Anderson,
Bumgarner,
and Zach Greinke, and Francisco Liriano, and Michael Wacha, Dallas Keuchel.
By the way, on Friday, it was Tanaka Wacha, the matchup.
Oh shit! Yeah.
We didn't do a pod that day, but
I was not able to do anything.
That's all right.
That was a bad day for me.
all well, my friend. Now I did mention that a lot of these Tigers bats have, they have that 27.8 strikeout rate. Now when I do, I don't know if everybody else does this, but I do strikeouts to actual like plate appearances. So I count the walks in there as well for at bats. So that 27.8 is actually, you know, is technically higher, but yeah, that's even up there with walks as plate appearances too. So I don't know if that's how people do it, but that's how I do it. And looking at the BVP against some of these Tigers, Miggy Cabrera 4-for-12 against Archer, homer. Andrew Romine 4-for-10, homer. Jose Iglesias 3-for-7. But let's look at. I really wanted to get to the bad folks here because we got Ian Kinsler's 2-for-20, 8 strikeouts. We got Victor Martinez 2-for-14, 4 strikeouts. Nick Castellanos 3-for-14 with 7 strikeouts. So I do think, I mean, look, the history's there. It's just you're going to get the run support off Jordan Zimmermann. You should be able to. I don't know, man. The Rays are 170 favorites tonight, so that does look good.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't looked at any BVP today yet, so
well, that's
why
you got me.
So. I know, and I appreciate that. I did not know that, so now my interest has gained a little bit.
Woohoo! All right, couple BVP numbers for Tampa Bay against Zimmermann. Evan Longoria 3-for-10 with a double. Ricky Weeks 5-for-9, 3 doubles and a homer. Corey Dickerson could be a dick dong night, 4-for-6 against him with the double and a homer. Steven Souza Jr., 3-for-5. I believe he has a homer. I think I don't know. I dozed off at that point, so I didn't finish the note. The only bad one, Logan Morrison, 4-for-21. Does have 3 homers, but also 8 strikeouts against Jordan Zimmermann. When we're looking at Zimmermann, any sort of GBP interest since he's going against the Rays and he could get some strikeouts?
Nope.
Okay. Just asking. All right, anything else from that game?
Nope.
All right, fair enough. Let's get to the ATL, where the Braves had their new ballpark home win streak snapped last night. But the Nationals are throwing Joe Ross out, the righty, for the first time this season. He'll be going up against Julio Teheran. Ross, as I mentioned, making his 2017 debut, not because of an injury. Nats just wanted him to get some of his normal work down in the minors. 2 starts against ATL last season, 0-1 with a 6.14 ERA. Our boy Julio Teheran, 3 straight quality starts to open the season. He's 1-0 with an 0.95 ERA. 1.21 is his whip. However, the bad news, 1-2 with a 4.61 ERA in his last 9 starts against the Nationals. In 54 2/3 of an inning, he's given up 28 earned runs and 11 homers against them. Yikes. All right. Given all that information, any interest in either pitcher tonight?
I have a little bit of interest in Teheran just because he pitches so well at home.
Just because he's Teheran, right?
Yeah, that too.
Tahada Ho.
Joe Ross is very, very, very interesting.
Well, when we get to the offense side of things, I might wane your interest.
He's interesting just because I know he's got the strikeout capabilities. I probably can't go there on an 11-game slate tonight with as many really good guys going as there are. But he's definitely interesting. Maybe as a pitcher, too, in a qualifier or a GPP on DraftKings or, you know, fantasy draft, and I'm talking like large field GPPs, because he's another guy like Liriano who can go out there and get absolutely just shelled. These Braves are a pesky bunch, and let's put it this way. I have more interest in the Braves bats than I do in Joe Ross, yes. But Joe Ross, you can't just automatically discredit him.
All right, well, let's take a look at the numbers here, because we know that the Braves have a ton of left-handed bats that they could throw out against Ross. Well, Ross, in his first two seasons in the majors, he gave up left-handed batters are hitting .301 against him, while right-handed bats are hitting .204. All the slash numbers are significantly higher from the left-handed side, so that means you get guys, Ender Inciarte, Freddie Freeman, Nick Markakis, Jace Peterson, guys like that could all be of use tonight for the Braves. So... and then you got short-term BVP here. Nick Markakis, 3-5 with a double. Jace Peterson, 2-4 with a double up against Ross. But, yeah, those splits are looking mighty lovely for the O's this evening.
Yeah, I really do kind of like that. It's probably going to be Inciarte, Freeman, Markakis night. We'll have to see what kind of other left-handed bat they throw out there, if they can, but I really do like those three.
All right, most. And then we've also got some BVP for the Nats up against Tehran. I'm not going to spit them all out, but well, the stats out anyway, but Bryce Harper, 13-31 against Tehran. This is the one I had to spit out there, but he's got an on-base percentage of .500 against him in his career with 5 homers. So that right there, my friends, that's pretty interesting. And especially on a night where you're going to get a lot of people paying up for pitching tonight with guys like Kershaw and Mabum, guys like that. I think Harper can go a lot lower owned than usual. And then Danny Murphy also has very good numbers against Tehran as well. So keep that all in mind. All right, let's get to next one here. We've got the Cleveland Indians at the Minnesota Twins. There is a 78% chance of rain in this game, so just keep that in mind. Trevor Bauer probably wants that rain to come because he sucks. Rough starts to the season, 0-2, 8.44 ERA, 1.59 whip, 3 homers allowed already. It hasn't gotten any better against the Twins either in his last 6 appearances. 1-5, 5.52 ERA, 38 earned runs, 10 homers allowed in 64 1/3 innings. Mejia going here for the I didn't even say who the pitchers were in this one, but Trevor Bauer for the Indians, Adalberto Mejia, the left-hander, going for the Twins in this one. Mejia, if I'm not mistaken, just made his first start of the season last time out, so I'm really not too familiar with him. Not even going to act like I am. Any insight on this guy?
Not a lot. I haven't really got to dive into his numbers like I really want to. I've heard some intriguing things about it. Just kind of the break, the stuff, I guess, plays. But I'm not sure if playing is going to be good enough at such a young age and a young skill set against this Indians team who they finally broke out last night. They told everybody that I was going to go back to the wagon. They were all under 10% owned.
Yep, it was a very good game to be a part of. I had some Sano. I wish I had some Ramirez. By the way, speaking of Ramirez, 3rd in the majors, 15 RBIs so far this season. Again, you know, we both mentioned this, but when the Indians are slated to score a bunch of runs, Jose Ramirez is usually knocking them in, or, you know, at least a big part of it anyway. So if that's the case, this should be another good spot for him here tonight as well.
Yep, 1 through 5 are all in play. Lonnie Chisenhall won't be in the lineup tonight because it's going against a lefty. So it could be 1 through 6 depending on who they throw out there. Yan Gomes should be back in the lineup tonight. He's very interesting. So,
all right. One thing, I don't know if going too much on Cleveland is a good thing here. They are in the middle of the pack against left-handed pitching this season. They have had their struggles in certain games and done okay in others, but again, they are where they are in the middle there, so keep that in mind. There is BVP against Bauer. Joe Mauer, 10 for 28, 6 doubles,
a homer. Don't play Joe Mauer.
Don't do it. Eddie Rosario, 8 for 18, double, 4 homers. I'm sorry, a double and a homer, not 4. But the bad news here, that Brian Dozier, 3 for 26 against Bauer here, 4 strikeouts there. And then Miguel Sano is 1 for 15 with 6 strikeouts there. And also Eduardo Escobar, 1 for 11, 4 strikeouts. So not very good for those fellas.
Yeah, I have interest mainly in Jorge Polanco and Max Kepler.
All right, fair enough. All right, Los Angeles Angels at the Houston Astros. J.C. Ramirez, the righty, goes for the Angels. Dallas Keuchel, the lefty, for the Astros. And we all know about Keuchel's home road split. From 2014 to 2016, he was 23-10 there at home with a 2.43 ERA. He's kept up the goodness at home this year. He's already had quality starts each time out. 7-2, 2.91 ERA against the Angels in his last 10 starts. I mean, oh, the numbers are great. 0.86 ERA, 0.62 WHIP so far. Keuchel's back, your Oklahoman.
Yeah, he grew up just on the road, so it's very, very, very interesting. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens tonight because, if I'm not mistaken, the Angels kind of get to him a little bit.
No. All right, I threw out the stat there. 7-2, 2.91 ERA, last 10 starts.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So I missed that part. Sorry. Kevin right, Kevin decided to put a longer post in the NBA, and it surrounds Russell Westbrook. So.
Oh, okay. I think I know where he's getting because he said it the last time. But but Keuchel here, the interesting thing, he's done fine not striking many people out. He's already had 2 starts this season where he's only allowed 4 strikeouts. So, and we've still seen him put up a pretty respectable point total. Now that we're getting quality starts and, you know, wins like that, I don't know. You always want the strikeouts. There's no doubt about that. But I think he can still get this done with the quality start and even getting the win to maybe, you know, take away from not getting, I don't know, let's say 6. So let's say he goes 7 innings, gives up 1 run, strikes out 4, but still gets that win in that quality start. That's still a good dollar per point play from Keuchel.
Yeah. I mean, if he's got some ownership.
$9,600 on FanDuel now. Oh, my.
I mean, that scares you. Why?
I just think that's too much. I, like, you know, earlier in the season when he was down near 8,000.
But at the ownership you're going to get him, because if people are going to say the exact same thing, and then they're going to be like, oh, well, if I pay this, I can go pay this for Madison Bumgarner or Clayton Kershaw. So I think he's a great play in tournaments.
Okay.
Because you're going to get him at a depressed ownership. And, I mean, it is April. It is early. I have a hot take coming up, but I think that I think he'd probably be my number 3 or 4 tournament pitcher tonight. He's definitely top 5.
I dig it. I like Keuchel. although the price I'm not a fan of. I got to see what he is on over on Fantasy Draft, where I will be playing once again. I love those slates over there. Very good. When we're looking at bats here, George Springer hit a homer last night. That ties him with Thames for the most in the majors right now with 7. Evan Gattis has some short-term BVP up against JC Ramirez, 3-for-4 with 2 homers. That looks pretty good. And that's really all I got for this one.
Okay.
All right, San Francisco Giants, Mad Bum, the lefty, up against the Royals, Jason Vargas. Vargas is a lefty, right?
Yes.
Righty. All right, I have him listed down as a righty, but I knew I fucked up right away. Mad Bum really not getting that run support, only two runs over his last two starts. I thought he got plenty up against the Diamondbacks, but hey, that's a tough matchup. He is 0-2 this season, 3.43 ERA. He's even gotten a quality start each time out, so that is good to note. And then, of course, Jason Vargas, who knew that we were going to get this from him? Two starts so far this season, 13 2/3 innings. The whip is under 1. Only allowed 1 earned run, but 14 strikeouts in those 13 2/3 innings. So that is impressive there. Now, probably not going to get these strikeouts against the Giant pitchers. Against these Giant hitters. But Mad Bum's certainly interesting here. He's got a little bit of history in this park, too.
Yeah, he does. Here's my hot take. Madison Bumgarner outscores Clayton Kershaw tonight.
Whoa!
He's my number one GPP play. Madison Bumgarner is. I think that the Giants, even though they're not hitting, they can kind of scrap out some runs against these guys. But, you know, it's not like the Royals have a lot of history against Bum. So you're not going to
– serious, that's all.
I'm not saying that they don't have history. I'm saying they don't have a lot of it. I really, really don't mind going to Madison Bumgarner here tonight.
I just point out, too, with if the Royals throw the same lineup that they have been the last couple of days, he's going to have that lefty-lefty matchup against 3 of the first hitters. So that would be a huge advantage.
Yeah, but here's the problem with that. Mike Moustakas has a 353 wOBA with a 212 ISO and a 122 WRC plus over the last year and a half. Against left-handed pitching, so it's not like that's a positive matchup for him.
I was gonna say Madison Bumgarner might be a lefty, but he is a man-child lefty.
I mean,
he's not going up against Martin Perez, you know.
I get that, I understand that, but you know when guys can hit lefties, you have to take that into consideration. It's not like this is a normal left-on-left matchup like, you know, Alex Gordon's 316, 144, 95. So.
Hey, I'm furthering your point here, bro. All right? Anyone?
Yeah, I just...
Is your mind somewhere else? I feel like
no. I'm sitting here thinking and looking at the lineup that I've got projected for it, and the only troubling spots that I see are the Moustakas Kane combo. I mean, Eric Hosmer 298, 128, 83 versus left-handed pitching. Even Salvador Perez 277, 166. 69. Brandon Moss, who shouldn't be in the lineup tonight. All these guys suck versus left-handed pitching. And I don't understand why Madison Bumgarner's grade's not higher. I love Bumgarner tonight. I think the only...
I think I know. The wind apparently is blowing 18 miles an hour out.
Shut up!
Yep.
God dang it.
I just saw that. Yeah. Sorry. Should have been up on that sooner.
Lock and load.
What?
I think Kane and I think the combo of Kane and Moustakas is interesting now.
Number one GDP. Wait a minute. Now, you know, of course, these guys are going to have to actually hit the ball, but yeah, you're flip-flopping on them like that?
No, not flip-flopping, just taming the expectations and probably taming things, so.
All right. Yeah, you know, it's funny. I just started looking at these numbers now. So in Minnesota, I mean, there's a huge chance of rain. I don't even think they're going to play tonight, but the wind blowing in from left field to home plate, 13 miles an hour. And then you look at Kansas City. Oh, my God. The wind. So batting practice should be really fun in Kansas City today because, let's see, 5 o'clock, the wind's going to be blowing at 21 miles an hour from the first base dugout to left field. And at game time, yeah. Well, game time, it's going to start at 19, and then about the end of it should be at 15. But, yeah, there's
yeah.
That. Holy crap, that's a fucking wind shoot. Very nice, very nice. All right, anything else from that one?
Oh, my God.
Did I ruin your day?
Brandon Belt is interesting. If the wind's blowing out, I know it's left on left. Hunter Pence. And I like the 2-3-4 if that's where we get it. And if that's what we get, I really do like that for the Giants against Jason Vargas.
All right. Let us get to two more games left. So your boys are involved in this one. Tyler Anderson of the Rockies is there. And then Clayton Kershaw for the Dodgers. So we got a matchup of southpaws. Your boy Tyler hasn't made it past the sixth inning yet so far this season. 1-2 record, 8.59 ERA, 1.46 whip thus far. And Clayton Kershaw is Clayton Kershaw. He is the highest favorite of the night, but the Rockies did get to him in that last start. I believe this is where your hot take is coming from, right?
Well,
or was possibly. Bumgarner the hot take?
Bumgarner was the hot take.
Okay, I got you.
Look, in the last week, we have beat Clayton Kershaw by doing something that he has never allowed anybody, any other team or any other group of players to do in his career. We did it. I don't care if it was in Denver or not, because he's pitched games in Denver before and mowed us down and, you know, all that good stuff. So in the last week, we hit back-to-back jacks off of him. We beat him in Denver, whether that's in Denver or whatever. We've beat Madison Bumgarner. There's probably some other ones in there I'm just forgetting because I was sick, but there's a lot to be skeptical about. And the reason I say that is this, is if there's a time to attack Kershaw, it's in April. With that said, Kershaw's no-hitter, it came against the Rockies.
Yeah. Sure did.
Now, the Rockies are actually doing very, very well versus left-handed starters this year. The Dodgers have yet to prove that they can do anything versus left-handed starters this year. Even Kyle Freeland last night, he was all over the place. I think it was like 5 walks and 2 hit batters. And they still didn't score. They still only scored one damn run.
Oh my God! By the way, that Puig ninth inning almost homer. That, you know, that probably would have cost me all the monies last night. But yeah. Thank God it didn't.
Yeah. So it's not like this is a open shut case. Logan Forsythe came out of the game yesterday, so there goes a right-handed bat. They had to put in Scott Van Slyke in the leadoff hole. I mean, they don't have a lot of right-handed bats that they can throw out there for the Dodgers. I know Tyler Anderson hasn't looked good, but you know, we know he can do it. This is Chavez Ravine. I like Tyler Anderson as a SP2 on DraftKings tonight. Here's the...
I'm sorry.
I mean, like, is there something you'd like to share with class?
If you say Colin Cowherd... No, well, it was from that show, but it has nothing to do with him. But so the Patriots are visiting the White House today, and that guy, Sean Spicer, he's given his his White House press briefing, and Gronk just walked in, like, open, like acted like he opened the wrong door and was like, oh, hi, how's it going? Like, a very official event, Gronk. Way to go, man. I dig it. Okay, sorry. That's just Gronk being Gronk.
I can't even.
All right, come on. Reset it. Reset it for the people.
Look, I'm not saying it. Clayton Kershaw's the highest graded out in the DFSA grade. That's not even, you know, a question. As he should be. He's Clayton Kershaw. Mm-hmm. But don't be surprised if, you know, Nolan gets him again. He's got two home runs off of him. Don't be surprised if Cargo gets him. He's got a home run off of him. I do believe one of those home runs came in
Dodger Stadium?
Yes, Dodger Stadium. I mean, I'm not saying that Kershaw is a bad play. I'm not saying that he's a slam dunk, though, either.
Yeah, and here's something that is interesting, right? So Kershaw, it's only three starts this season, but he still hasn't topped 10 strikeouts. That's, you know, that's what we're paying up for when we go for Kershaw. I really don't, you know, I talked a little bit about it earlier, but the win and the quality start. The quality start, it's weird, right? Because you get 4 points for the quality start, but I don't feel like the win is as important as it's been on FanDuel, you know, because number one, it got cut in half. In terms of what we're paying for these pitchers, like look what Severino last night, right? He had all these strikeouts, got the quality start, but did not get the win. It still didn't really hold him down from that. So I got two schools of thought here, right? So we talk about the Dodgers struggling against left-handed pitching. I don't think that the win is absolutely going to happen for Kershaw. He can very well get a no decision in this game. But the fact that he hasn't struck out double digits yet kind of concerns me, and that's why I don't know if I want to pay all that salary for him. I mean,
you also have to add in the ownership that Clayton Kershaw carries by itself.
Certainly. And, you know, you certainly got to think about that too. But again, when we pay up for Kershaw, we're paying for, I guess, comfortability, knowing that we're going to get like 40 points. We could definitely get 40 points out of some of these other guys that we mentioned today. Dallas Keuchel, hell yeah. Bumgarner, something like that. So, and look, we got plenty of bats and good matchups that I certainly want to take advantage of too. So, yeah, certainly if we're talking about dollar per point, my favorite category on all the sheets, no, Kershaw is not the best.
So, yeah, I mean, look, we could be like any other show and be like, oh, Clayton Kershaw, blah, 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 blah. Blow smoke up your butt and just tell you, you know, what to do, how to do it, and all this other good stuff. But what advantage do you gain from that? Like, seriously. Like, everybody knows Clayton Kershaw is the best pitcher in baseball. Okay, right. There's no, like, that can't even be argued. But what we can do is give you information for you to make your own decision on whether or not you want to play him or not. There's two schools of thought here. One, the Rockies got him. Yes, it was in Denver, but the Rockies got him. The Rockies have got him before, so maybe you don't play Clayton Kershaw, hoping that he doesn't strike out 10, hoping that he doesn't get the win, and he only gets, you know, 8 strikeouts in 7 innings with, you know, 2 or 3 earned runs. Or maybe even if you get lucky that you get 4 earned runs out of him and he doesn't get that quality start, and then you throw in a Nolan or a Cargo or a Charlie, a Mark Reynolds, or you throw in one Rocky who can tag him, and you can offset that ownership, and you're gonna get him at next to nothing.
Yeah.
So
now, yeah, I'm not here in the school of thought where I think the Rockies are gonna tag him. I think Kershaw's gonna have a fine performance, you know.
Just, no, I think, you know, that somebody could hit him innings, for a solo shot, or
seven,
you know,
7 innings, 4 hits, 1 earned, like 8 strikeouts, something like that. That sounds feasible.
He's not going to go out there and allow 5 earned runs.
No.
Okay, but I think that, you know, Charlie could get a single, and then, you know, Nolan can tag him for a home run. You know, because Nolan's kind of hot right now. So I think that's a possibility, you know, and all of a sudden he's 2 earned runs in. You know, I'm not saying that that's going to happen on the top of the first inning, but this is baseball. I'm just saying that, you know, we're giving information and scenarios around there that could be vital for you making a decision that could help you, you know, move up late in some of these GPPs and take down something.
Yes, absolutely.
So,
2 bits of breaking news here. Number one, Kevin Durant will be a game time decision. Not probable, not anything like that. Game time decision. And number 2, the Buccaneers will be on Hard Knocks this season. Looking very forward to that.
Your guys' season is done.
Nah, we'll be fine. James,
have you seen the record for the teams that have been on Hard Knocks?
Keith, records are meant to be broken.
Yeah, but trends are meant to keep the same.
Have you seen the roster? My goodness, the roster.
Oh yeah, that roster.
Woo! Okay, here we go. All right, one last game to get to. Probably another option that we could take you off Kershaw with. Zach Greinke going for the Diamondbacks tonight up against Julio Chacin, the right-hander from the Padres. Greinke's looked pretty good here at the start. While the numbers are not in my possession right this second, they will be. 1-1, not that great, actually. It was mainly the last start that really did him in, that one against the Dodgers. You know, got smacked around a bit, but before that was looking pretty good. He's still 1-1 this season. It does take on this Padres team, which we all know can strike out, has struggled before. And then for Julio Chacin, there's really not much to be said about him. I don't have too many stats up for him. This is the only game that I really didn't get any notes down for. But any info that you have here would certainly help me out here, Keith.
Let's see here. The Diamondbacks are a good play. 1-3, maybe even throwing a Jay Clam, depending. Oh. And I'm just going based off of what they have. I have a projected lineup. Actually, I'm going based off of yesterday's lineup. I got lazy, and instead of typing in projected, I just copied them over, and I'll adjust as they go. Most of them are going to be the same. It's just, you know. Sure. I'm going back to the Padres. Well, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5. So, yeah.
Here's the number I was looking for. Last 7 starts for Greinke against the Padres, 5-1, 2.13 ERA. Boom. There it is. And opposing batting average of 190. So there's that.
There you go.
A lot of people are going to be scared of Greinke, maybe mainly because of his lady hair, but I think he is a fantastic play tonight against this Padres team.
I don't mind it. He's not my favorite, but he's definitely not the worst. It's more of a situation where I really do like both sides of these offenses a little bit more.
Fantastic BVP numbers against the Padres.
Who, for Greinke?
Greinke against these Padres.
So, like, he owns them?
Yeah. Will Myers, 3-for-23. Andrés Solarte, 3-for-19.
Ooh.
Corey Spangenberger, probably not even going to say, 3-for-16. And then, you know, you got a couple other guys who have a couple at-bats, but nothing major.
Okay. So, maybe Greinke is a little bit better play than...
Schimpf, 2-of-6 with 2 doubles.
Ship. So,
all right, folks, that's gonna do it for today. Sorry, I didn't have much info for that Diamondbacks Padres game, but be sure to check out my notes on dfsarmy.com at about 5 o'clock today. I'm gonna start putting those out a little later because I like adding the nuggets about the team's lineups and, you know, what you could potentially look for, who's moving up, who's in an advantageous position according to their salary on the site. So definitely look out for those. I'm gonna hold off on those for now until about 2 hours before lock. So just want all my lineup information out there.
There you go.
And that's it for me. Make sure if you want to join us, do so, dfsarmy.com. Use the promo code podcast when you sign up. I believe the promo now is at $25 a month. With that, you get access to the Slack chat channel for 24/7. You get to chat with me, Keith, Kevin, Taco, Chapadong, Burns, all the guys out there that are giving us the great information. David as well. Look out for his free Square article today, too. And, yeah, members, be on the lookout. VIP lineups will be set as soon as we're ready to go. And everyone, good luck tonight, NBA and MLB.
Peace out.
We out. We go.